Welcome to It Sounded Like a Good Idea at the Time, a fresh in the trenches dialogue all about womanhood, motherhood, adulthood, all from a couple of non-experts. My name is Caroline.
And I'm Hannah.
And we're super glad you're here with us today.
Yeah, we have a lot to talk about, but we should kick it off by talking about the Kindness for Charlotte initiative. Do you want to?
Yeah. So the day that you are hearing this podcast, if you are listening to it, the day it comes out, July 31st, we are celebrating alongside April Robeson, Christina Marcelino, and hopefully hundreds of other people across the country. For the Joy for Charlotte Kindness movement. 1 year ago today, if you're listening to this on the 31st, April's life turned upside down irrevocably when her middle daughter, Charlotte, was diagnosed with leukodystrophy. If you follow April, and I know a lot of you listening do, you can follow her at Smidge of This and Charlotte's Joy. She has really just dedicated this last year to being joyful and all about honoring the joy that's inside of Charlotte. And we've talked about this, and I don't know anybody who could have possibly done this better than, April has been doing. She blows us away all the time.
She does.
She is a delight.
April has been on here twice, one time pretty recently, and Christina was on here earlier, I think late spring, and it's just a lot of fun to sit down with them. And so it's cool to see the two of them doing this. It's been amazing to see April's journey. As I've followed along, which has been a little bit less time than you, but I'm floored by her ability to be joyful all the time. So,
and you know, she specifically referenced this anniversary on her last episode with us and not knowing how she wanted to spend the day. And her last sit down with us, we actually talked about how she might mark this 1 year anniversary. And she wasn't sure at the time. But I love that now their goal is to make sure that today people spread random acts of kindness just all throughout the day to bring joy to other people's lives. So we encourage you to do the same any day. It doesn't matter when you're listening to this. And if you feel inclined to share what you've done, you can tag the account Charlotte's Joy and hashtag Joy for Charlotte and let April see just how much Charlotte's reach is increasing kindness.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's great. It's a great message. And I think we'll be sharing a little bit more about that on our Instagram account. Good Idea Pod.
Yeah, and follow us today. We'll be sharing some on our Insta story. And it's a great way to get your kids involved in things like this. I mean, I've talked to Norbeth about Charlotte because Norbeth and Camille are friends. And I think this is a really cool way because she's had a lot of questions. To just tackle a hard topic, but really positively of, you know, how to spread joy to everybody around you.
Yeah, that's encouraging. That's encouraging. April is very encouraging as a person. So this is a great movement. So it's a good idea to read. What are we reading?
Okay. So we've talked about it before. I have read, I think now, four excellent books in a row.
I will get to this in a minute, but you're crushing it on the recommendation front.
Thank you. And I am feeling some letdowns, not like a lot, but those were so strong.
Yeah. That's the tough thing. It's like you're, like you can't pick up something else next.
Yeah. So I did actually read one. I wouldn't make it an official recommendation, but I liked it. Mary Adkins, When You Read This, it's, told from the perspective of a woman who has passed away of cancer, but she left behind her blog and a note to have it published.
Interesting.
And it's the perspective of her boss, who was like her best friend, a male, and there's some ambiguity about their relationship, and her sister, and how they're both walking through grief. But it also is kind of light and
interesting.
Fun. So it's all told through emails. So if you like are okay reading, not like a full prose transcript, it's good. It's worth checking out. But again, not an official recommendation the way my last four have been. But I did also just finally come off of the hold list for Ruth Reichel's Save Me the Plums. And I'm very into it right now.
I don't think I've even heard of that one.
Okay, so it is from Ruth Reichel, as I said, a former editor-in-chief of Gourmet magazine. And it's basically her memoir of how she went from a food critic writer for the New York Times to the editor-in-chief of this huge Condé Nast magazine.
Oh, wow.
And I'm very interested in it. And you know I don't even, like, love nonfiction.
Right.
But it's... It feels like one of those that could be fiction.
Right.
Because most of my, like, Hallmark movie-esque books are like, this high-powered magazine editor takes on the big city.
Well, it's like that, the one that we just read that we were like, is this real? Essie. No, no. Essie wasn't real. The one that educated feels not real.
Yeah. Well, I will say, in this, like, hangover from some great books, I hate returning books unfinished to the library, but I let like three of mine expire, and I've done that before just because I've, you know, like run out of time, but then like recheck them out, you know, because you can't renew on a Kindle, at least with the Overdrive app.
Right.
Anyway, I let them go. I was just like, I just can't get into them.
Yeah.
Not because they're bad books. I bet if I tried again, but following the ones that I have read recently,
I have been doing that more this year because I'm like, I can't waste my time if I'm not super into it.
Yeah.
Like, for whatever reason, it's probably a great book, but I've got to let it go. I hate, like, there's, like, that kind of part of me that I'm like, I started this. I've already put in a little time. I need to finish it. If you start a book, you got to finish it. But then I'm like, not really. That's a couple hours.
Well, I get hung up on if the author knew, it would really hurt their feelings, and I don't want to hurt their feelings.
I know. I'm sure they did negative Goodreads reviews.
No.
Because I'm like, no, authors see that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that.
What are you reading?
So you recommended The Mother-in-Law.
Yes.
I think you said that a couple times.
Yep.
Sally Hepworth. I read that in 24 hours.
Yes, you did.
And I was like, I'm starting it. And the next day I'm like, I can't handle it. I'm done. It's amazing. You were so right. It's just like this, very gripping tale on perspective, from two very different people, a daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law, and it's told both in past and present. I think you've talked about it before, so I won't go quickly into it, but some of the foreshadowing in it is nuts. Like I sat with it for a little while, but not too long, because then I picked up a book recommended to us. Jenna, and we talked about this last week, recommended The Red Queen by Victoria Avayar.
Okay, yeah.
It's a YA, super young adult.
But now you're 30.
It looks sad.
Yeah, but you're further and further away from that every day.
I love it. There's something about like YA fantasy that I love.
Yeah.
I've noticed lately that I'm not gravitating towards any stories like of any other sort of media that are like current time that's like YA. Like,
oh, interesting.
If it's like a TV show about like high school or college, I don't care. I'm like, no, I really like prefer more like nuanced stories about relationships and stuff like that. But there's something about YA fantasy that I will always love. Like, it's my favorite genre. So she recommended The Red Queen. So it's totally different. And I think because I've read a lot of fiction, but not really, like, not fantasy.
Yeah. You needed that, like, full departure.
Yeah, I needed that full departure. And again, I finished it, like, I finished both those books in, like, 36 hours.
Do you feel great when you finish books that fast?
Because
I do.
Yeah, it feels like an extreme feat. I've been bragging about it for, like, that whole time it was on.
And now on a mic. So
yeah.
That's good.
And he's reading The Goldfinch, which I guess is really long. And I'm like, oh, are you still on that?
What reading level are you? Grade level are you above, below?
And then I'm waiting for, you know, with Kindle, if anyone has Kindle, I don't know if you can feel my pain, but you have to like place holds on things.
Cause,
like, different library systems, some are fantastic, I think, in that they have a much bigger variety. I don't know if ours, like, they just don't have that many copies, it feels like. Anything I want on Kindle, I have to put on hold.
Right.
So I put a hold. I didn't think that I would like love it this much. So I didn't put a hold on like the rest of the books in the series.
Oh.
And I'm like, I want to buy them to support the author, but we've just had two birthdays, so I can't. So I put them on hold.
Well, it's funny that you say that about like Kindle, because, you know, like real libraries work that way with real books.
Yeah.
Too.
Let me explain to you how libraries work. They always have. No, that's not it. I got to have my Kindle. I don't know.
Okay.
I got nothing.
Because there are a finite number
of
books.
I need it backlit.
Also. Okay.
I don't know if you know how things work.
Well,
I need it available at my fingertips for free.
You're acting very millennial this morning, and I can't handle that. We did have a request to just mention how we read our books through Kindle because we talk about checking them out a lot. And mm-hmm. so if you did not know and you have a Kindle, you do not have to buy the books.
No.
There are apps available for libraries. And yeah. we use the Overdrive app. Do you?
They have been pushing the Libby app. And I don't know if that's our library system.
Yeah.
Overdrive, if you need a membership with your library.
Correct.
Go onto their website and they should lead you step by step through it. That's what I've always done in the library systems that I've been a part of. So yeah, if you're wanting to do that too, they should have, now that e-readers and stuff are such a big deal for half of the people on this podcast, they...
Okay, that felt very targeted. I am reeling.
They provide step-by-step instructions, so definitely check it out.
Yeah, well, I also have seen them push the Libby app on my e-reader, but I've never quite gotten it to work on my
I don't really know why Kindle. They did that outside of Overdrive. It's, I guess, maybe a little more user-friendly. It's okay.
Well, here's the way I'm going to crack the whole system.
Okay.
I've decided. I'm going to collect library memberships from across the globe from our listeners. Share your library account with me because in Overdrive... sure. They're all free. It's fine.
Free for residents of that district.
Again, it's fine. The internet is everyone's district. So you can add libraries on your Overdrive app.
Yeah.
And there are several books that I want to read that are not available.
Right. In Charlotte.
In Charlotte.
Yeah.
But they could be. In your town.
Yeah, you could help us out.
So check out and let me know if Waiting for Tom Hanks is available.
What? Is that another book?
Yeah.
You're on a list. You've got some books coming.
Yeah. So if you're listening
and you want to help Caroline out,
hop on over to your Overdrive or Libby app. Check out if Waiting for Tom Hanks is there. Let me know. Send me your account information. Library, stop listening.
Let me know about the second, third, and fourth books of Victoria Avayard's Red Queen series.
We ask so little of you all. Buy Lineage Coffee, rate, review, and subscribe.
Yeah. How hard is
it? Give us all of your personal information.
Actually did that for a little while because we had just moved out of Orlando.
Oh, yeah.
And the Orlando library system is fantastic. Passan used to have books delivered for free to our house.
Holy moly.
Like, they just, like, bring it to you. I'm like, this is amazing. And they had a much broader book library.
Yeah.
That's what that's called. So I don't feel
like I liked them more.
Yeah. I don't feel like I waited as long. But I don't know. I just feel like I'm always having to place holds and I don't like it. I don't like waiting. I need it available.
Yeah, but I see things differently, which shows like our true character.
Sure.
I place holds and think how awesome that Charlotte is so literate.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
So I'm proud of our community as a whole. I don't feel how it impacts me.
I don't know about... Oh, I only think about how it impacts me. I don't know if it does this on the Overdrive app. On the Libby app, it shows... because I don't remember. It's been a little while since I've used that one.
How long you have to wait.
Yeah. And how many copies are in use. So there's like 3 copies. So...
Oh, yeah. It doesn't bother me. I'm branch like, out. Oh, 6 copies.
Buy more copies.
And I'm 251 on the list.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. Good job, Charlotte.
That was like...
reading your books.
I don't know. That happens with all popular books. But lastly, so in waiting for, I was like, all right, I'm just going to put the holds because it also say on the Libby app, like, you should be getting this book soon.
Yeah.
Also, I try to be as soon as I finish it, I return it early because I know people are waiting because it's just polite. Hint to the people out there reading books 2, 3, and 4 that I'm waiting for. No, I'm just kidding. I think a lot of people do that because they do tend to come like, or like I'll put a hold on a bunch of them at once. And then all of a sudden I have 8 books and I'm like panicked.
Yeah, I do that too.
So I had a book that I checked out and on my Kindle. And the funny thing is I was like, oh, I'm not going to read this. I just want more YA fantasy. I don't want to. So I returned it early from my app, but then it was still on my Kindle. And I'm like, man, I really just want to read a book. This was yesterday, Sunday. We've had a crazy weekend. I just want to take it easy. And so I'm like, let me just see if it's good. 'Cause it hadn't deleted off my Kindle yet.
Yeah.
I started reading it and then I super loved it. So I like real quick put my Kindle on airplane mode.
Oh
so
my gosh. Connect to Wi-Fi.
And I read the whole book yesterday.
What?
It's called One True Loves by Taylor Jenkins
Reid.
Oh,
I love that book.
Did you recommend it?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. There
I love
you go.
It.
You're crushing it. It's That's 2 out of the 3 books.
Good.
I couldn't put that one down.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
It was really, it was another good one. I don't think you've recommended it on here. Have you?
No, I don't think that I have. But I do love it.
Yeah. I read another book by her that I liked. She, and those two books, they've both been in the theme of kind of like the different choices that you mm-hmm. make. That the first one I read was about someone who like makes a decision one, like makes a decision one night and her life plays out in two completely separate ways. And it's told like in tandem.
I read that one. Yes. I can't think of the name of it, but yes, I have.
I can't either, but it was a good read. This one I liked even more.
I did too.
Which makes me think that it might be like her, like further, like I think that one was one of her first ones. Mm-hmm. I might be wrong. One True Loves is, a story about this girl who becomes friends with someone in high school and then dates, like has a huge crush on this guy, captain mm-hmm. of the swim team. And this is all, I'm not giving anything away. This is in the description. She marries the love of her life and they have a great life together for a short period of time. And then he goes missing, mm-hmm. And is presumed dead. And so she's grieving him. And then finally, after a little while, like moves back to her family home, falls in love with someone else and gets engaged. And then finds out that her high school boyfriend, then husband, is alive.
It's Castaway-ish from...
It's very Castaway-ish.
From the female's perspective.
Yes, exactly.
From not Tom Hanks' perspective.
Yes, exactly. So it was just really interesting to read through, and she does a good... She writes love stories in a very convincing way in a short period of time in this book.
Oh, that's a really good insight on that. And I felt like she makes all of the characters flawed.
Yeah.
So it's not like, oh, this is fully weighted for you to obviously know who she's going to choose, right. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. She makes people really real. And so I liked that a lot. So yeah, those are our picks for the week. A lot of great women authors out there.
Well, David, our number one fan of the podcast,
sure,
duking it out with Aunt Mitzi there at the top, suggested that we watch a movie last night. I am in full on recovery mode from a crazy work weekend. And so we watched a movie called Widows.
I've been wanting to watch that.
Okay, we watched it.
It's on HBO now.
Yes, that's why we watched it. And I recommend it if you like movies about kick-ass women.
Yes, I do like that.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
I don't know if I made that clear.
And he said, this looks like one that women are doing great in. Like,
David is amazing because he always looks at things from that perspective.
Yeah.
He's always saying like, good, this is great for women when yeah. like a woman does an amazing thing professionally or.
Yeah. He's the best.
That's awesome.
And he was like, this looks like a good one to watch ahead of you guys recording your podcast so you can talk about it. So he was right. It's very good. It also has Liam Neeson, who's not a woman, but is great. Actually, right. The whole cast is great. Robert Duvall.
Oh, I love him.
Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell. Oh, I haven't seen him in anything in a minute.
I know. You're right. You have not. hang on. I have to read the cast because there's...
Viola Davis,
who is unreal in it.
I can't handle her. She's a gift to humanity.
Yeah. Oh, Michelle Rodriguez is in it.
Oh, right. Daniel Kaluuya.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Was he in Black Panther?
He was.
Okay. Yes. He is in it. And the whole movie was very good. It is one, I will, fair warning, you do have to pay attention to the plot.
Oh, yes. I love that.
Yeah. I was kind of like checking in and out, especially at the beginning with doing work and watching it. Mm-hmm. It's not what you can't. You need to watch it.
Okay. Oh, I'm excited. I'm going to watch that. Attention.
But yeah, it will make you feel very empowered. But also has like a real heart. Well, I'm not going to say it.
Okay.
It's good.
Yeah, that's great. All right, well, let's take a quick break after all those women women creating awesome stories and being in awesome stories, and get back in a minute.
All right, so we had a really good conversation with April, as we mentioned earlier in the episode, about finances, and I wanted to kind of bring it up again.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we just talked about it, but I feel like I have become very attuned to trying to figure out, okay, where in the budget do you remove things that feel unnecessary but necessary at the same time? For instance, mm-hmm. I actually have had this conversation in our DMs a couple times this week since I mentioned like the fitness program that I've been doing.
Yeah.
It costs money, and it costs $200, which was a fairly large, is a large right. ticket expense.
Yeah, for sure.
But there is a payoff for doing it and spending that money I've been held accountable because it is a big ticket expense. Yeah, it's not like, oh, it's $20 to download an ebook, and it doesn't really matter if, you know, whatever.
Right.
So it brought up this idea for me of what is necessary to spend on? What is our line of this investment in self? And it's not really self-care, but kind of along that line. How do you weigh things out with what you spend money on?
Yeah, it's a good question, because even when you and I were talking about that, you were like, I want to, you made a, because I texted you and I'm like, all right, I got to, based on like our conversation from last week as well, I'm like, I've got to just, I don't know, figure out how to get back in the gym. This summer has been really hard because I just feel like I've completely fallen out of shape and I haven't cared. Now I kind of care. It's kind of like, I've been fine all summer mentally with it, but now I'm just kind of like, well, I don't know, feeling like antsy.
The rush of two birthdays.
I feel like I was just kind of waiting for it all to come.
August is in sight.
Right, exactly. School is in sight, maybe. I don't know. It doesn't feel real yet. But I feel like I was talking to you about, let's, you know, like, what, so tell me about this, and does it cost money? And you said, yeah, it costs $200. And then you said, I feel like I should, you kind of gave it a disclaimer. You gave it a disclaimer. Based on the fact that we talk a lot about like finances and being real careful, which is funny because I hadn't thought of it at all.
Yeah.
Like when you said, like, you gave it a disclaimer about like, I wanted, you know, I feel like I should say, like, I know that we talk about money, but I really felt like it was valuable for blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I said, you didn't need to say any of that. I totally got that. Because to me, it's a big ticket item, but it's also like, what the other option would be, because I mean, we can all just go for a run. First of all, we can all go to the gym and do whatever. But it's kind of based on your state of mind. Like, technically, I could just go out and go for a run. I could just go to the gym and, like, do all the random machines.
Yeah.
But it, the way I weigh things in my mind kind of, like, changes throughout the year.
Yeah.
And, like, there have been, for the last couple months, I haven't wanted to be a part of any plan. Like, I've just wanted to, like, not worry about that.
Yeah, I think, like, old episodes, we both talked about that. Like, I don't want to plan.
I just want to go in and do whatever. But it's funny how you kind of ebb and flow into different things, because now I'm like, I need a plan. I need someone to lay out my workouts, and I need someone to tell me what I need to do, because where I am right now, I'm thinking that takes less effort. Whereas, like, earlier in the year, I've thought, like, well, like, following a plan takes less effort.
Well, and for me, it came down to the realization of, like, yeah, I can say I don't really need a plan, but mine isn't working. So, like, my non-plan plan isn't doing anything for me.
That's true. Maybe it was probably a little bit of that for me, too, where I'm like, well, I just, you know, there are professionals in place. This isn't an ad for that program by any stretch. Just to say, like, for me, for you, like, it was that, like, you were like, I need to spend this money. And we've talked about, I can see the results myself on you. And, so I, was talking about starting a workout plan as well. You disclaimered it. To me, it's kind of like, the cost of therapy or the cost of, just, there's a lot of things that I feel like don't fall under, like, food or bills.
Yeah.
But there's still, like,
the essentials.
Right. And if maybe they're like B level essentials, like if you were literally like in dire straits, you could cut it out. But if it's affecting your mental health and like your overall like look out on things, like if you can swing it, it's a little bit more essential to me.
Yeah, totally. Well, and I felt like I needed to make the disclaimer because I didn't want to be somebody who poor mouths. I don't think that's what I've been doing, but you know, we have had very frank conversations of, yeah, it's been a leaner financial time for us. So we aren't doing X, Y, or Z. I can't even remember what it was, like going to the museum that's more expensive for days. But then to turn around and be like, but here is my $200 program I did. It felt like, okay, well, I don't want to raise eyebrows. And not yours necessarily, but like, to me, obviously I was having that internal struggle of that was a big thing. And so if I'm saying I can't do that, especially when it's on yourself, but then it brought up, like you, brought up this point yesterday. Yeah, I worked a 24-hour event this weekend, but it was like over the course of 3 days, I worked 40 plus hours in 3 days. So I'm pretty like zombie-ish this morning and have the day off. And you encouraged me to spend time by myself doing whatever. And you're like, go buy a dress if that's in your budget, you know, something that makes you feel good.
Right.
Which was such great advice. And I needed that permission. And I said, that feels indulgent. like, oh, that feels right. so indulgent.
Yeah. Over you took, text.
Yeah.
So.
You took it a different way, but it was a way that I really appreciated of, well, let's like redefine indulgent.
Like, right. I thought you were saying like, oh, that feels indulgent.
No, I was like, oh, that feels so like...
Yeah, like in
that.
A good way. Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting of ways we define how we spend.
Right.
To me, like I think of the necessities as our bills.
Right.
Our house.
Which technically, yes.
Yeah. Childcare. And that's it.
Right.
And so I think I've spent so long focusing on those things that it does feel self-indulgent to spend other extra on things that are right. like non-essential, mm-hmm. but I also never question cutting our Y membership, and that's $100 yeah. plus dollars a month.
Mm-hmm.
So it is just interesting how we pick and choose,
right,
what we're spending money on. But then, you know, we talked about this with April, of either side of the coin of finances, there's shame attached to it, so right. it feels like, okay, in being authentic, I also need to disclaim
right.
how I'm choosing to spend, even with somebody who I don't need to do that with,
right.
you know?
Well, what else are things that you would think, like, what else are things you would add into the budget that might not be like food or like, you know?
Yeah.
Or I guess, how do you look at your budget? Because like when I was talking to you yesterday and you were saying, you know, David really encouraged me to go shopping, but I don't know, that feels, what did you say? You were saying that didn't feel great to you, basically.
Yeah.
It did. Like, I think the way you said it was like you wanted to, but you were like, oh, I feel like I'll mentally feel like guilty, something
yeah,
along those
for
lines.
Sure.
And I said, I think that's a great idea that David suggested that. And in my mind, I was thinking like, oh, just go get like a dress. Like, I know because you've talked about yeah. like when you just go out and get new clothes, it feels, but like, I would never think to do that myself.
Right.
Because there's something about spending on me, especially in, maybe this is a mom thing. Maybe it's a me thing. But like, if it's like the kids,
yeah.
like I'll go to Target and easily get the, cause I mean, yeah. it adds up, but I'm like, oh, it's a $4 shirt. Who cares?
Right.
You can, I mean, I'm not saying that like I never spend on myself, but there's something about like,
I think it's the, for me, it's the pursuit of, no, it's leaving my house by myself
yeah.
in the pursuit of something for myself.
Right. That doesn't really relate to the family.
For sure. That starts to feel, because I'm like, if I'm doing an errand, like when David said go shopping, I'm like, well, we've already gotten all the groceries
yeah,
this week.
And
I'm
exactly.
like, okay, oh, you don't mean yeah. like for the household.
Right.
it's like, oh, I guess I could just go for something that is not, that
right.
I don't accidentally stumble upon while looking for things
exactly.
for the kids.
Yeah.
So it's like I have made spending on myself
not
the periphery.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so it feels like a weird refocus or uh-huh. recalibration that like I have to get over
mm-hmm.
that mental hump of, but maybe
yeah.
I just need more medicine because that feels like a whole big, like, I don't know, rabbit trail of, go do something for yourself.
Right.
It's nice. But, you know, like, I don't like to spend money. I love getting my nails done, but I don't like to spend money on it because
yep.
it feels very temporary.
Yeah.
The money is going to, I don't know.
That's the way I am, too. I don't like to spend money on temporary or short things.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, like, we'll order takeout.
Yeah. Like, oh, for sure.
Like, on weeks where we have been rushed, and especially in this month with all the craziness, we've ordered takeout a ton.
Yeah.
Like, if I added up all the times we've had takeout, and like, and every time I'm like, oh, well, I don't know if I want to spend that on me right now.
Yeah.
We easily spend more than that on dinner.
Well, or it's like, oh, you could probably hire a sitter and have a nice dinner out
right.
together.
Exactly.
Like, even though it's easy to be like, oh, we can't really afford a date
right.
night right now.
Because we've had
yeah,
McDonald's 20 times.
Yeah, but it's like hidden expenses. You know, it's like, I could like send us to $0 with like tens and twenties
exactly.
and like those
nickel
small
and dime
purchases.
You. Yeah.
But it is like one purchase feels like, now I have to justify it to everybody,
right.
you know, like, and I've done it again in these conversations and DMs. I'm not trying to sell anybody my program, but people who have asked, I've told them, but I'm
yeah,
always
you
like,
are, you are not, it's not like a, you're not, like getting commission on this or anything.
No
the way you said that, like, my program sounded like
yeah thank you. Yeah, the program that I'm doing, I feel like I can't just say, It was $200.
Oh, I totally feel that way.
Because, you know, if there's somebody who makes more than I do or whatever, chooses to spend their money differently than I do, if they tried a new face cream that they love and they're like, it's $175. I'm like, what do you think I spend my money on?
Right.
But it's like this weird judgment that goes into how people spend their money when it's outside of the scope of how you would prioritize to spend your money.
Right. Yeah, we got into that a little bit with April about like thinking about how other people spend.
Yeah.
Because I don't as much go there. Like, I don't like with other people saying like, you know, oh, this is it's $175 for this cream. I'm more like, all right, what can I cut out to get that cream?
Oh, interesting.
Like to like kind of level it out, which is not maybe necessarily like depending on like different costs. Sometimes like I tend to be, even though it doesn't seem like it, I tend to like be really like, I don't know, tight-fisted isn't frugal. Really the, I mean, it's not even frugal because it's not that I don't like coupon. I don't like actively save a ton of money. I just feel like I can never spend. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So you're
even
just
though
like,
I do, like I will,
you're just conscious of what you're,
but it's like overconscious. Like I'm not looking at things again, like as a like, well, but again, think of how much we spend. It's like food is such a big thing.
Yeah. Food is one of our largest.
Yeah.
But not,
I think it's probably like everyone's
takeout.
For
ours is from groceries, but I will, I think I've talked about this before. I used to be like militant about our grocery budget and now I'm less so.
Yeah. You talked about that recently.
But I know that I have places I could cut there, but it's just,
right.
it comes down to, I think, what are you willing
right.
to do that? Like ultimately that payoff feels worth it. And to me, like,
yeah.
I've said, I think this exact thing before, like rationing out yogurts
yeah,
does not feel worth it to me.
It doesn't feel worth it. For me, my line is basically, and maybe it's good that I'm kind of like, I can't think of the word. Tight-fisted is not the word I'm looking for, but maybe it's good that I don't go out and just like buy things for myself, because if it gets to 3:30 to 4 and I haven't made dinner for the day, I'm not making dinner.
That is so interesting.
I'm too tired. Like yeah. mentally for me, even if it's like not a fast meal, not a long meal to make,
yeah.
I'm like, by
I'm
this
done.
Time, like it's too much of like a conversation in my mind of like, all right, how can I keep them like
occupied?
Yeah. Occupied or in a good mood. How much TV have they watched today? Can I just put the TV on so I can cook? Are they just going to be arguing with each other? Are they going to be arguing with me? Like,
yeah.
I'm just like, I'm not dealing with it past like 4 o'clock. If we can just go outside and
yeah.
By that time it's shady and stuff like that. So that's like the cutoff. I know if I haven't made dinner by like 4 o'clock, we're eating out. So maybe in my mind by not picking up those things for myself, from
yeah.
any time I'm out,
you're
I'm
building
like,
in that budget
building
for yourself.
In the to-go budget. But I don't know. I think, and it's probably a stage of life thing too. Like at this stage
oh,
of
sure.
life, I just feel so haggard most of the time that I'm like, no, I don't know. I'll look nice one day.
Haggard is totally like if I had to choose a word of 2019, like we did
yeah,
at the beginning,
yeah.
I don't know what I said mine was, but haggard
wasn't it, but it is it.
It should be and will be. But I'll do that though. Like if I have a few minutes of downtime at work, or if I have my computer open while like, I don't know, Bravo is playing, I will fill a cart with lots of stuff.
I do that on Amazon like every day.
And then I just close out at the top.
Yeah.
I'm like, my sick pleasure is
yeah.
in like, then I'll like Google to see what coupon codes I can get, like to bring
yeah,
the whole thing
yeah.
down. And then I'm like, meh, not even worth it. And so I just close the tab.
I know. Well, and my sister-in-law is also like another part. Again, it's like a phase of life thing. My sister-in-law is so stylish and her home is like beautiful.
Yes.
And every time I'm like, where's this from? Where's this from? Where's this from? And she's like, TJ Maxx, Marshalls, blah, blah. But she'll be like, yeah, you just kind of have to like go a lot and look around. And I'm like, I can't do that.
Immediately
it's not in my,
me.
Yeah.
Well, I love going to Marshalls and looking around.
By yourself.
Yeah. I will even do it with one child, but I can't do it with
yeah,
all three.
I can do it with Milan. I couldn't do it with anyone younger than like 4. Now he's 5. I can't,
yeah.
I can't go younger than that. Cause it gives me a little bit of anxiety to be in those stores because it's not super, like, it's just like a little panicky in there for me.
Well, I always end up attracted to the things that I can't decide if they would look better on an 80-year-old or me. And those are the things I always need to put down.
Purchase those immediately.
Right. But then I panic and buy them anyway. And
yeah.
then I get home. I'm like, what was I thinking? This is like an old lady shirt.
I just, I kind of like have been looking forward to Maya starting preschool.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'm not going to get a babysitter so I can go shopping.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
I'm okay, not
but
gonna...
if people do like do it, it's no, just yeah. not, but I do, that's I think where that line of indulgence is for me of like,
oh,
it doesn't
yeah,
mean
yeah.
that it's a bad thing. It's just if there will ultimately feel like it is an added cost to whatever I'm purchasing.
Right.
Then I start to question it.
Right. It's kind of like if I'm paying for a babysitter, I don't even like paying, like it has to be, it's the trade-off of what you're giving up. Like even mm-hmm. if I'm giving up some time when Pasan is home with the kids so I can go out, it's still something that I'm giving up then.
It's still a sacrifice.
It's still a sacrifice. Like what am I sacrificing to go and shop when I'm like, well, like I really don't want to like even to like get ready and leave the house or whatever. Yeah. It's, I mean, it's not even that. It's like, I don't want to use either money to get a babysitter or favors of like trading yeah. babysitters with like trading babysitting with friends for something that's not like a date night or a movie or yeah. something like that, because it feels so rare. So I think that's kind of more like this phase of life.
What will you spend money on without thinking twice about it? Is takeout that?
Food, takeout, easily takeout, and like kids' clothes, even though they don't need them.
Yeah.
Like I can't like resist kids' clothes. They're so cute.
Yeah.
And typically books for the kids specifically.
Yes, I'm that way as well.
I talk about the account Here We Read. We is WEE on Instagram. I love her. She recommends the best books.
Mm-hmm.
And I have just got a ton of books. And I get books for them all the time. Because yeah. I'm like, nope, they need this.
Yeah, I do that with books. Though lately I've been being like a real sucker and getting like these $5 toys for the girls. And I need to stop that.
I know. But. I have a vivid memories of when I was growing up and my mom used to say, like, we'd be in like Walmart or wherever. And she would say stuff like, this is why I don't bring you guys yeah. grocery shopping. And I'm there now because it's like, depending on which kid or if I have to take both, which I usually do, to the store, you spend more.
Yeah.
And cause you just can't say no to everything all the time. It's exhausting and kids want everything, but it's like, with Milan, this didn't happen until, I want to say, even maybe this last mm-hmm. year. And because Maya is the second, she does everything
for
Milan does.
Sure.
So same. She asks for everything. So I can usually, but even if I take him, I can usually explain, like, we're doing or not doing this. But I feel like I still have to assuage him with one thing.
Oh,
if we go
totally.
To Publix, it's a cookie. So then I'm like, well, okay, how much sugar has he had today? Can I just load on a cookie? Is it close to mealtime?
Yeah.
Is it like, it's too much
at
to
Target,
think about?
It'll be like, here, you can get a bag of gummies. Instead of a toy, and
right?
I'm like, well,
just
this
get the
is
toy.
Not. Yeah.
Well,
right.
And then the Target one spot gets me because mm-hmm. it's easier to say yes than to like argue with them throughout the whole store. But that bit me in the butt because one time I said no because we went in for one specific thing and mm-hmm. it was for them. But they, I told them they couldn't get something in that spot. I'm like, no, we're just going to the back of the store.
Yeah.
And they specifically Milan, I think, because Milan is very much a ordered person.
Yes.
Like he needs to know what's going to happen in advance. And if his thing is like, we go to Target and I get something from here.
Right.
Then, and it doesn't happen. He can't like handle that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So and I said no. And he like couldn't recover from
Whoa.
That. Like he didn't understand why. So then of course I'm like, great. Well now he's spoiled and I failed as a mother.
Yeah, oh, totally. Every time, like, because I've been working a lot this summer. And so like before my trips or mm-hmm. before, like this was like a 3-day stretch where I didn't see them very much. I got them like a $5 My Little Ponies.
Right.
To like have while I'm gone.
Right.
And I'm like, am I like becoming that mom who's like
right.
trying to replace my presence in their life with toys?
With presents.
And I'm like, yeah,
presents
right.
with presents.
Yeah. And I'm like, ugh. But they're also so cute when they get so excited.
I know.
And I'm like,
it's
I don't know.
Hard
I don't
to
know.
Not, it's hard to not do that in. But I'm also like, I don't like, we ended up leaving Target with nothing that one time, which I felt good that I stuck to my guns.
Except the one
but,
thing you bought for them.
No, I didn't buy them that even.
Oh, you didn't?
No,
because
they weren't, they were losing it. And I was like, I don't care if they lose it in public. Maya has completely, what's the word? When you like face something so much that you're immune to it.
Desensitized.
Maya has completely desensitized me to that.
Mm-hmm.
And, so Milan has only ever had a fit or anything in public, like under 5 times. Maya does it regularly. So like, I don't care, but I just felt because they were whining and crying about stuff.
Yeah.
Then I cared because I'm like, oh my gosh, people are going to think
this
that
is an entitlement thing. Right. Now.
Yeah. And then of course, then I'm like, what are all these people thinking around me? Like, so then I was like, we got to go. We're done. Like we can't get, I felt good that I stuck to my guns, but I'm like, well, I don't like that you thought that in the first, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and then you made it's not fun for me. Like, or anybody, I don't know. It's not a win.
It's so, like, I talked about going to our science museum. It's so, like, while I'm there, I'm like, I just want to take them to the gift shop and get something for them. Yeah. I didn't, because I'm like, what's going to happen? They're going to love it for 5 minutes and then, like, be done with it. And I'm like, and of course, everything is going to be overpriced of course. Their gift shop. But I'm just, I don't know. Like, you want to see them be, like, so excited and you want to get them things. But I'm like, I can't get them things all the time. I just got them a membership to a science museum.
Yeah, right.
That has to be the thing this time. But I don't know. I just, I want them to be, like, I love to see them so excited and so happy, but I hate to see them entitled.
Yeah.
So
that's, and there's a fine line.
Right, there's a fine line. So I think with clothes, I find that it's a little different because I'm like, well, you know, clothes are something they need. It's not like a toy. And I don't know. I see the attitude around clothes a little differently.
I'm in agreement with that. And I actually shop our local Facebook resale groups a lot for their clothes because I like smocked stuff. I like kind of matching sets. But I will not buy it new almost never. And they are getting excited now about new clothes, but in a way that I don't feel like, oh, this is spoiling them. Cause I'm like, it's clothes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
They're not at the age yet that they feel.
I like the kids' clothes are really cheap. The Milan and Maya basically live in Cat and Jack things from Target.
Wonderful.
And it's like, I'm like, I can't say no to $4 a shirt.
Yeah.
Like
that's, no.
Like what would I get it for secondhand? Like $3?
Right.
Maybe a dollar. I don't know. But anyway, so yeah, I don't know. I guess, I think it's a stage of life thing, but I also think I've always kind of felt like I would feel bad if I spent, maybe not, I don't know. It's hard to remember.
Do you think that you think about spending too frequently? I was going to say too much spending, but I mean, like I think about finances all the time. I feel like I'm never not thinking about finances. Are you like pretty free in your thinking about it? Or do you feel like you spend a lot of time?
I think you're probably more the passan in that way.
Okay.
That's another thing that you two have in common. I think about it, but maybe more like abstractly.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, oh, is this fine? Is this fine? Like, oh, well, I'm doing it. Like, we need to eat or something like that. And I physically can't move into the kitchen and make food for us. Like,
yeah, I do lean in that category, I think, a lot where I'm like, is this fine?
Yeah.
Probably not. But it is Wayne, but I'm going to do that.
The bummer is that Passan is a really good cook, but he doesn't get home in time to make dinner.
Oh, that is a bummer.
Yeah.
If you had a microwave, that could help things.
Pop a microwave dinner in the oven and we'd all be set. I think it's just more big picture. Like the things that I want, like a house.
Yeah.
I'm always like, well, did I want, like looking back on it, it's like, shouldn't I have just made dinner all those times? But now I'm like, I don't know. I couldn't in that moment. Mm-hmm. Like I already felt like ran to the very end.
Yeah. It's not a fair thing to be like to yourself. To
yeah.
be like, well, if for 4 months I never got dinner out, that would have put however much money back in our bank account. Like,
yeah,
maybe. But you, as a typically healthy, normal person, you make the best decisions that you can on a day-to-day basis, and sometimes
that's a good perspective.
I have to believe that it all equals out at some point, because unless you are just, you know, chronically irresponsible with money, which you should talk to somebody about, because that is an issue.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, for in terms of mental health, like that is how a lot of people cope. I think most of us can kind of follow the squiggly line of, yep, sometimes there's more spending on dresses for myself and sometimes there's not, but somewhere there's this law of averages of for our lifestyle, this should work. And you kind of trust that.
Yeah.
I'm not there yet, but hopefully that's where we are.
Yeah. I think this year will be interesting for both of us because both of us have rising childcare costs this year in different ways. This is my first and last year to have two kids in preschool.
This is my first and not last. So.
Yeah. and I've told you that I have like a date in my mind where like in the future that I feel like at this point, then we'll feel like more, you know, loose. But it's, you know, you always think that because you think that when you have two kids in diapers or one kid in diapers. Yeah. And you're like, well, once this one is potty trained, then it's fine.
Yeah, but you
and
just
once
kind this of one's off the formula, costs.
Then it's fine. Yeah. So I'm like, well, I'm probably not going to feel that way.
Right. Because I'm thinking like, yeah, but then two will be in sports and right. two, and then three exactly. will be in activities.
Yeah.
And like yeah. Anna Blair potty trained herself like over this last week.
I'll show you how to be a middle child.
Yeah. So she's, I was just thinking yesterday, well, that's half of our diaper cost, but right. I also never like line item diapers because again, no. that's a necessity. So,
right.
you know, it's one of those that you'll find like on Facebook or whatever, you'll spend $34,000 right. per child right. on diapers. And I'm like, not all
care.
At once.
Yeah.
Like,
I do ultimately care. And I hate that diapers are so bad for the
but
environment,
what am I gonna
but
do? Like I do cloth diaper.
Oh yeah, you do. Yeah.
Though with, I like cloth diapered a lot with Norbeth, quite a lot with Anna Blair, sometimes with Jane Ellis. It's like subliminal, but I'm like, I don't know where I'm not gonna, I probably won't see that money back in my account
because right.
it'll go somewhere else.
I just tried to get the seventh generation diapers mostly. We talked about cloth diapering and I don't know. It felt like too much at the time.
Yeah.
I in theory would wish I had done that, mm-hmm. but I don't, not because of the money at this point.
Because you wanted to be more like me.
Because I wanted to be more like you.
Yeah. Perfect. Well,
I just,
if that's not a theme of our episodes, I don't know what it is.
Exactly. But anyway, I don't know. I think it's just taking every phase of life and saying like even small scale phases. 'Cause it's like, or like at the beginning of the summer, I kind of decided quickly, like, okay, the gym cannot be a priority.
Yeah.
Because it's just, I don't know, it's a fight. It's like weighing an argument or
yeah.
weighing a conversation every morning about, well, like one of them isn't going to feel like going to the gym. And I don't really want to like drag them kicking and screaming,
yeah.
even though they ultimately have a good time there. And especially Milan knows a lot of people. He's mm-hmm. such a social butterfly.
Yeah.
He's easier now, but Maya is very clingy to me over mm-hmm. the summer, and we've had just like nonstop together time, and I have been like I just feel like I've run ragged with like, what's gonna make them happy today? I need
yeah.
some way to make them happy today. And now that birthdays are over and we don't really have any trips planned not really any like big trips for a little while, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
We got to change it up a little. So I think it's even like every couple months things change. And
yeah.
for me now, I'm like, I got to focus back a little more on me. And so what I tried to do was I had a conversation with Milan yesterday about it
mm-hmm.
and made a schedule
good.
For the week. So we will see if that works. I put it on the fridge, not that he can really read, but
he knows that it's there.
He knows that it's there and he knows days of the week. So
oh,
I figured
perfect.
He could look at it and say, because he always wants to know what we're doing, what are the plans.
Uh-huh.
And part of me worries about that a little bit because I'm like, I don't want him, like, you know, that they say that today's kids are all like, are not bored enough.
Right.
So I'm like, I just want him to be like bored and creative. Mm-hmm. But
I wonder
he
if you'd
gets
rephrase
panicky.
It. It's like, this is free time or something like that.
I did
like,
do that actually. That's
did,
funny you say
that work?
Just yesterday.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'll let you know next week.
Yeah.
But, I rephrased it to like, these are the days we're going to the pool. This is the day we're going to the science museum.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like three, like, and I'm trying to weigh it in my mind of like, what's actually healthy. 'Cause
yeah.
I'm like, I don't like what's going to be healthy for all of us
mm-hmm.
and spacing things out throughout the week. And I'm like, we will be going to the gym. It's for 1 hour.
Yeah.
And we'll go early. Hopefully we'll get outside time. I don't know. But then these are the times where you're going to have free time. And he was
mm-hmm.
like, what's free time? So I think that helped phrasing it that way. 'Cause I was
yeah.
like, you can do whatever you want. Like,
yeah. 'Cause it
read
feels
a book,
like an activity.
Yeah. But I've also been letting them watch more TV than I ever have.
Yeah.
Because it's just so tiring to like
mm-hmm.
be on for like 14 hours a day
in programming their day. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, I put on PBS Kids 'cause I feel like that's basically like school.
Yeah,
and
totally
just give myself a break about it. And
the anti-TV.
Someone told me, yeah, exactly. Someone told me, back when Maya was just born, we were talking about just screens and stuff. And she was like, you know, the thing I've learned is that you can undo that, or like you can like unprogram it.
Mm-hmm.
Like she was like, we went through a phase where I felt like my kids were too connected to TV and screens. So we went through a screen fast
detox, yeah.
detox. And it was hard for like 2 days. And then after that, they don't ask for it anymore.
Huh.
She had a range of kids, I think elementary school and younger, several kids. And so I don't know, that kind of gave me a little freedom to breathe.
Yeah.
And just say, like, this is what we're doing. It's summer break.
Yeah.
We get a lot of outside time, and Milan plays with Legos all the time, which I feel like are a STEM toy. So
totally.
We're not reading as much as I wish that we were, but I don't know. We'll try what we can.
Well, I know you're doing a great job with your kids.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Well, I think that it all comes back to mental load.
Yeah, as does always, everything. As always. This was kind of a different sort of conversation of just like,
yeah, but
what
we're
doing.
Pulled from our own text messages.
Yeah, exactly.
Pulled from our own screen dependence.
Right. Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, you know, your phone gives you a report for iPhones every week.
It.
And my screen time has been going down a little bit. I instituted back my 30 minutes a day for social media.
Oh, perfect.
The annoying thing is, which again, my career does not revolve around like checking and like being involved in social media. So I can do that. I can spend more time doing like back end things and like, but the annoying thing is you cannot just, on a technical note, you cannot just select certain apps.
Oh.
So social media includes messages as well.
Oh yeah.
So if you're interested in doing that as well, and you have an iPhone, just kind of limiting whatever app you can select groups. So, but they decide what the groups are. So for me, it was like Instagram was kind of a time suck.
Yeah.
Honestly, I need to take out BuzzFeed too, but I need to put
it's news.
Right. Exactly. Unfortunately, it is news, I think.
Yeah.
So then I take out the New York Times as well, but which I do need, like I do read regularly and I think that's fine. Like that's not one that I'm like, oh no, I spent too much time in the New York Times. But you can go and manually decide, like after you select a group, so you want less time on social media, then you can go and say which apps are always allowed.
Oh, that's nice.
So the annoying thing is that messages are included in social media, but I just put always allowed on those.
Yeah.
So I kind of check Instagram in the mornings and then don't get back at it. It'll eat up your time to be like texting, even if you're like not on Instagram that much.
Yeah.
If you're on messages all morning, it'll eat up your 30-minute allotment. But it's taken it down for me. Overall, I'm like, I just don't want to be in my phone that much.
Yeah, no. Norbeth regularly gives me like reality checks about that. Like
right.
She asked me to cuddle with her yesterday during her quiet time. So I sat on the couch with her and she was like, and are you going to put your phone down now? And I was like, oh, yep. Because to me, I was like, oh, if I'm going to sit here, then I'll also catch up on other things and post some
content. It's always like,
content.
What else can I be doing to make this time useful?
Yeah, how can I use this? And I'm like, well, that's a real eye-opener that she is well aware that I'm on it. And because sometimes I'm like, she won't even know. I'm just, we're both here. We're touching. It's fine. So that was eye-opening.
Yeah.
Well, we want to know. We don't have a good idea.
Yeah.
Story for you.
Nothing has gone
anecdote.
Wrong for us in the last
we
week.
We can't entertain you all the time, people. But we would actually like to know your good ideas for how you prioritize your spending, how you decide how to invest in yourself. Continue this conversation with us.
We need more permissions. Also, someone's got a birthday coming up.
Yep, that's me.
Yeah. So wish Caroline a happy birthday when this comes out. Comes out on Wednesday, Caroline's actual birthday. Also the birthday of J.K. Rowling and Harry Potter. So that's
right.
Pretty cool. Shoot her a message. Say happy birthday.
And the way that you can celebrate it, as I'm sure you're all looking for ways to do, is to spread kindness for Charlotte.
Yes.
So,
that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And we'll be on our Instagram with that throughout the week as well. I might even get on there.
Whoa.
Just kidding. I'll update the password immediately. Anyway, we can't wait to hear from you.
Yep. And we'll be back here next week.